to Architecting. I'm your host, Angela Mazzi. You made it. This is the landing pad for raw honesty about connecting your career with your purpose. I'm going to give you the tools you need to be an unapologetic advocate for yourself and others, because if you're here, you believe that the space we surround ourselves in matters, and you're committed to project by project building a better world for all of us.
If you're with me, let's get architecting.
Hey, Bright Lights, it's Angela, and you are in for a really special treat today. I like to do these deeper dive talks every once in a while. Sometimes they're about well-being. Sometimes they're about professional development. We've done resume and portfolio workshops, how to get a raise and promotion workshops. But what I wanted to share with all of you today is a really special conversation that I had about mentoring. This is a snippet from an hour-long workshop that I did with two different mentoring programs that I am involved with. One is the AIA Align program, which is for licensed young professionals who are part of the YAF program that AIA has paired with members of the College of Fellows. And the other program is Nexus, and this is for emerging professionals. They may or may not be licensed, but a little bit earlier in their career. And again, they're paired with members of the College of Fellows. And what you're going to hear is this amazing talk that I had with my friend Carl Sergio, who helped to found the Nexus program, as well as Jordan Kravitz, who is the current leader of the Align program. Even if you think you don't fall into the category of someone who's earlier in their career, take a listen, because what you're really going to learn about is how mentors at any stage of your career can make a difference, as well as the importance of giving back. As Maria Montessori said, when you teach, you learn. Even as a fellow who mentors people through both of these programs, I personally sharpen my own insights around career issues and professional development, and also get a lot of insights from people who are having these experiences in their career today that I wouldn't have otherwise. I want to give a shout out to a very special woman I mentored, Hilda, somebody I worked with last year in Nexus and really taught me a lot about alternate career paths and a non-traditional career. So I think I learned as much from Hilda as she hopefully learned from me. This is really the gold that is there when we think about mentoring. It's why it's so important that we seek help ourselves, but be willing to help others. And remember, you only need a 10% edge to be able to provide benefit to others. You're really gonna love listening to this clip from the talk that we had. And if you are interested in hearing that whole talk, there is a link in the show notes where you sign up to hear that whole talk. This is a really, really good conversation. So take a listen. Today, I have with me two very special guests to talk about a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, which is mentoring. So many of us think we can just slog through and DIY our careers, but we're going to talk tonight very specifically about why you should not do that, as well as how to find the right mentors for where you are in your career. And I did say mentors, plural. And we're going to start with you, Carl. Tell us a little bit about how you found your way to leading a mentorship program and what your career journey has been about.
Funny specific question about that is that I had a great experience in a mentorship program, and I reached out and said, I would love to help with the program next year if I can be involved in any way. And they said, oh, great, let's talk. And then they asked me to run the program and also gave me very little resource in transitioning into taking it over. So I was thrown into the deep end that one, but I guess it turned out okay. The reason that that became so valuable to me, the program and my experience in it, was that I didn't have that earlier on. I didn't have mentors, mentorship. I didn't have a lot of support. I graduated from architecture school here in Chicago, and you know, a lot of my professors were working. Some of them had their own firms. Nobody's particular fault, but I had zero support coming out of school, no help finding a job. And it was 2010, and it was the worst. And once I finally fought through 9 months of looking for a job and nearly, you know, working at Starbucks or moving home with my parents or both, I realized I had gained some tremendous experience, but also realized it shouldn't be this hard for other people, and I don't want it to be that hard for other people. And I locked that away as, I want to do something about this for others. I work at Interior Architects, and I have, I don't know, 12 years of experience now. I worked at Gensler as well. And it wasn't until I kind of went through the mentorship program that I realized, oh, okay, this is the vehicle, you know, for which I can do this. And that was a huge turning point.
Jordan, how about you?
I will be actually starting a new position over at Stantec shortly. So just really exciting. I'm an architect and I specialize in healthcare and medical planning as well. So exciting things and career changes, and definitely couldn't have made some of those decisions without the help of my mentors. I have a similar story a little bit as Carl was saying. I struggled a little bit when I was right out of school to find a mentor. So looking back on my career, it's where I really realized how important mentorship programs or mentorship in general is. I am a member of the Young Architect Forum, or known as YAF, a program of the AIA, or the American Institute of Architects, and jointly with the College of Fellows. We're organized to address issues of importance of recently licensed architects within the first 10 years of licensure. And that's a really important time to mold and grow these new architects. And so YAF decided to found a mentorship program, knowing how important that was for those folks. Similar to Carl, I participated in the program, and it was really wonderful and is really wonderful, and was tapped to also help lead it after being a participant and finding how useful it was.
Both of you mentioned programs, and I'd love to give you a chance, since you went from being in the programs to now leading the programs, to talk a little bit specifically about these programs.
Yeah, great. So Align focuses areas and experiences with young architects and fellows around the country. I think what's really interesting about this program is it takes these young architects from everywhere throughout the country and even the world. So you're put in a cohort, if you will, with a group of people that may not be in your state. So it's connecting across state lines, which is really exciting. It's a long range program that really focuses on the pairing of young architects and fellows in what we call pods. So the idea is to have 4 to 6 young architects with 2 to 3 fellows. The idea is to work on these smaller cohorts in facilitating professional and leadership development.
Carl, you have a little different approach with what you're doing.
Yeah, and I'm also running 3 mentorship programs, 2 of which I started, and they're still kind of working their way towards adolescence, if you will. But the program I mentioned before is the Bridge Mentorship Program here in Chicago. So that one is in person, and that I would say has been a model for quite a few other programs around the country. It's been around since 2009. The benefit of it is the group dynamic, you know, the sessions that we have together, the fact that we get all these peers together, that they get to know each other, that they have long-term relationships. And then, I mean, it ends up building a larger group of people who have gone through the program over time here in the city. So that has made a much bigger impact, I think, than just, you know, kind of the one-on-one pairing for the individuals. And so I actually focus a lot more, you know, on building the relationships in a larger sense. And then I have started leveraging those younger professionals in that program to mentor students. You know, I think, again, to my experience graduating, to help them bridge that gap from graduating to the working world, you know, even if they're very involved in the AIAS, there's no direct conduit to then be involved in the AIA or to get connected. And especially if you graduate and move cities. So we're kind of helping them weather that transition to the working world and create some relationships and that sort of thing. And then the third program, which Angela is how I met you, is Nexus. And that is the one that is in the same conversation with Align all the time, because we're, you know, both operating at the national level, I think in two very different ways, but, you know, with similar intentions for sure. And Nexus is just all over the country with anyone who wants to apply. Our applicants have generally been pretty early in their career. And, you know, we try to meet them where they are. I tend to try and walk that line between structure and organic to sort of give a platform for people to, I guess, have the conversations that they want to have, to find the relationships that they need, to figure out the things that they need to figure out. And so, you know, always through those programs, through each individual relationship, through each year that we run the program, is about figuring out who are the participants, what do they need, you know, where are they at in their careers, how can we help them along? So I take it really personal to try and be really involved and really connected to everyone who's participating.
Again, as Carl alluded to, our program is much more structured. So you'll be paired in a pod that has a similar focus area, whether it's in practice through Institute Leadership and Design, could be through scholarship in terms of making contributions to education or the research side of things. And then finally, we also have a pod that's structured more around civic architecture. You know, architects who are making notable contributions to public service work. So we'll take those pods and then we'll match applicants. Found that matching the people that have common interest has been really helpful. And then that it takes some of the pressure off of you, who you might never go out and reach out to that fellow, you know. And so when you're paired in that pod and you start having those conversations, it's a seamless way of making it easier and taking the pressure off of the applicant who might be a little nervous to reach out to someone.
Carl, look, what's your process with this and how does that help people get the right fit?
Nexus and Align specifically operate in opposite ways, which, you know, I think for very specific reasons, which is also why we've talked to them about, you know, maybe we need to be a kind of part one and part two of your career mentorship. You know, we do the speed pairing, which at the end of the day focused a lot more on finding a good relationship fit than it is about taking a look at all their demographics. We have tried going that route as well, but I think especially with our younger participants, they don't necessarily know for sure, you know, what they want or what they want to do or where they're going. And converse to Align, where it's very much like, you know, this is my passion, this is my vector, I need help like heading in this direction. We have to find just good relationship fits for the mentees, to find somebody that they click with who can, you know, almost kind of serve as a therapist in a way, to just talk them through their career struggles and their interests, help them come to conclusions on their own. Maybe it ends up being kind of less important that they're, you know, in a particular location or on the same trajectory or at a similar size firm or, you know, working in the same market sectors, and more just about finding somebody that they get along with and feel comfortable talking with.
Hearing you both talk about building your network.
And a part of this network as well is the Align program. While focuses on that first 10 years of licensing for those mentees, the applicants that we do have that we do accept into the program are a little bit further ahead in their careers. You know, again, as Carl was alluding to, which is a really nice thing about the two different programs, is it's really helping you refine this focused engagement effort, and then, you know, trying to help you throughout your career, which when you get into this program is really that time that those connections really start to make a big difference for whether you want to try and become part of the College of Fellows one day, or if you want to, again, you're looking at different job opportunities. And so to have those connections across the country and get different points of view from different people, I think is really, really fascinating. Something that Align does, and Carl, I'm not sure if Nexus does it, but I think it would be great, is, you know, we have opportunities to meet in person at major architecture events at such as AI conference or the AI Leadership Summit, which is really great because now you're taking these virtual connections that you made to actually meet in person at these events where you may not have felt comfortable going to because you may not have felt like you knew enough. But now you have this network and you have this community, which is a really strong part of the program.
Building that network is so powerful. And sometimes you don't even realize it until you want to do something. You know, you all know that my big passion is design for well-being. And I do this weekly interview with different specialists. And it's fun to just go through all my connections and be like, who can I invite to talk? I know these people just from being out there, being engaged, being visible. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts on how to help young professionals do that more effectively, because it's really easy to stay in our comfort zone. And if we do go to an event, only hang out with the people we already know or hang out with our peer group versus having those opportunities to branch out.
Drawing on my own experience, those 9 months I alluded to, I was, you know, very actively looking for a job when I graduated. And I knew also that, you know, I'm not going to just go to a random event and find someone who's like, oh, you are the perfect person we've been looking for. Let's interview you on Monday. At some point, I knew once I got past the initial round of, you know, contacting places and realizing no one was hiring at the time, that I was going to have to play a longer game. And I just started going to everything. I mean, you know, multiple times a week, just going to whatever AIA events that I could and just being there and meeting people and pushing through lots and lots of awkward conversations about the weather and just like getting comfortable with making small talk and getting comfortable with being really uncomfortable, to be honest, and hated a lot of it, but I knew that it was valuable and important and it was about my career and, you know, kind of about the rest of my life in a nutshell. So it was very worth it. I think you can't do that too early because it's one of those things that you can't go out and find relationships when you need a job, when you're, you know, like people can see that all over your face. I'm here because I need a job. I'm here because I'm looking for someone who's hiring. You need to already have that network and those relationships to build on. During the pandemic, I was downsized by my company that was turning upside down. And in 6 weeks, I had 5 interviews and 2 job offers. And that is 100% just a product of the fact that I had enough people I could reach out to, personal relationships that were able to connect me and pass me along and get me interviews immediately. And it was just like such a great testament. Years of hard work I had done, it finally paid off and it felt really good, to be honest.
Yeah, Jordan, what's your thoughts on how people can build and leverage their network?
Getting uncomfortable is the way to go. And it's not easy, especially if you're more introverted. It takes a lot of energy, but I would say it's a skill to hone, being able to get out there and network. And so whether it is in-person events or, you know, you meet someone online, this happened to me the other day, they were in a different state. And I said, let's grab a virtual coffee. And it is a little awkward. You don't know this person you're meeting for the first time online. But again, you know, getting comfortable with the uncomfortableness, I think is a way to grow. When I came out of school, I struggled actually with all the people that, you know, Carl's generation of students that weren't able to get jobs, so didn't go into the field or the practice of architecture. So I am always searching for that mentor who is, you know, 5 to 10 years above me, who I definitely can learn and grow from. So anytime I meet someone like Carl or someone else who's in that 2 years above where I'm at, I try and latch on and stay connected, because those are the people that I really can relate to and can relate to me. Not to say that I don't have mentorships or mentors at all different generations or all different levels, but for me, the connection that I really strive to go out and look for is someone that really can understand me. And I find that bridge of the 5 to 10 year person above me is really integral into help growing and giving really great advice, because they've been there, they understand what I'm going through more recently, I would say. And it's hard to find those people. And so again, as Carl said, going to as many events as I can has been really helpful. While I'm very involved in the AIA, you know, definitely going to other events such as professional development organizations. I helped to found a women's development program in Phoenix called Women in Healthcare, which was specifically for the professional development of women in the healthcare, not necessarily ACE focused, but it is a heavy ACE focus in Phoenix. Again, trying to just look for people to connect. So I think there's lots of different ways, but again, you kind of have to take the ownership on yourself a little bit to put yourself out there. If you're sitting waiting for a mentor to come find you, it may happen. You may get lucky, but if you're looking for a mentor, you're going to have to put in a little bit of legwork, even if it's hard.
And I love that you said that it doesn't always have to be the person who's got to your end goal. Mm-hmm. It can be, and sometimes is better to be the person that is just a few steps ahead of you, because then that's all you need to worry about. You don't have to worry about how you get from A to Z. You can worry about how you get from A to C or D. And that feels a lot more manageable. And I think it also gives you checkpoints, because if you were to have asked me when I first graduated with my degree in architecture what I wanted my career to look like, it would not be the answer that I would have given 10 years later. And even that answer doesn't look anything like what I'm doing now, because we don't know what we don't know. And the world is always changing. There's things to do now that didn't exist 10, 20 years ago. I think that is really important, that you have the momentum and you take the steps and you leverage everybody and find that value in those relationships.
The value of your peers and also your near peers, you know, those people that are one step ahead of you, they're going to be with you for the rest of your careers, and they are going to be able to help you kind of every step along the way. And, you know, I think it's really easy at first when you're out there looking for a mentor or going through a program to just think like, you know, I need this amazing person who's at the pinnacle of their career, who can tell me everything that they know, you know, and impart all of their wisdom on me. But like you mentioned, Angela, you really just need help, you know, getting from A to B or C. And as long as you can, you know, maintain your heading and put one foot in front of the other, that actually ends up being a lot more valuable and productive than trying to figure out your whole life, your whole career, answer all of life's big questions, and then be released for the rest of your career. Because we all know, you know, especially those of us who have gotten licensed, it is so easy specifically to look ahead to being licensed and think about like, oh, great, when I get my license, you know, I'm going to have everything behind me and I'm just going to be off to the races and so marketable and I'm going to be an architect with a capital A. But then you get your license and it's like, oh, I didn't get a raise. It maybe didn't open any doors for me. It didn't answer any questions, actually. So now what am I supposed to do? And I'm still pretty early on in my career, generally speaking. You know, so that's a kind of eye-opening experience for a lot of people.
A lot of times we think we don't need a mentor because maybe we have a good project manager that we're working with and we feel good about that relationship. Or maybe we have a coach we're working with. What is special about the mentoring relationship that we need to differentiate it and not just fall back on the convenience of the structured relationships through our workplace?
Mentor is someone that's willing to go to bat for you. Not that your project manager or someone in your office may not do that, but they truly have your best interests at heart. They care about you in a different way. What you're really looking for is someone that is going to guide you based on what is best for you, not necessarily what's best based for the company you work at. And so if the place you're working at is not the right place for you, it would be hard for a project manager who enjoys working with you to say that. Someone that's really looking out for your best interests and that you can talk to open and honestly. If you're having struggles or concerns, especially in the workplace, it's, again, it's difficult to go to a coworker or your boss, and not that you can't do that and have those open and honest conversations, but there could be repercussions. You could get fired. You could get terminated. You could say, you know, this is really not working out. And whatever that might be, definitely that person that's going to help guide and grow you based on what's best for you, not what's best based for them or the company.
Simply helps so much to get out of the office. I mean, even if you are coaching or mentoring with somebody you work with, it's so valuable to just physically leave the space and go out to coffee or go out and have a drink to get some distance. But having somebody that works for a different firm and can see things with a bit more perspective and be open and honest with you and, you know, be a little bit more of a friend. I think both, you know, passionate in the sense that they can be honest with you, but also dispassionate in the sense that they're not tied into your working trajectory because you're not working for them. To Jordan's point, that's the biggest difference, is just getting someone who's kind of away from the context of your working environment and away from all those relationships, good and bad, and all of the kind of contingencies that go along with working together, to have somebody that you can have bigger picture, long-term conversations with about your career or the industry, or, you know, you can say, I hate my boss or whatever it is, you can be honest with them as well. And I think that's really important to have.
I want to kind of pivot this just a little bit to this idea that your mentor does see you beyond the role you have, beyond the stereotype, because I think it's really easy to get stereotyped in the workplace, and then it is harder to shift roles and to grow. A good mentor should challenge you and should get you out of your comfort zone. You both said this. What do you think is the secret sauce to whether somebody is maybe more similar to you and they're going to just help you keep growing in the path you're on versus somebody who's maybe very different from you but can see things that you wouldn't see because of the diverse perspective? Maybe they're even more provocative or less nurturing, so it doesn't always feel good and warm and squishy in that relationship, but they may be doing more for your career. How do these different kinds of relationships benefit us?
Definitely had a lot of relationships, but I don't know that I've necessarily that I can point to one, you know, kind of long-term mentor. I think for the most part, that's okay, but still, I think I've had enough relationships that I can bounce off of people here and there and have a lot of conversations with a wide variety of perspectives as needed. And that's helped a lot. Something else I think that we've alluded to, you don't need to hold yourself to one mentor at a time or, you know, over time. You should have a lot. You can move on from one to the next to the next. Nobody's going to take offense. I think it's easy to think that I need to go out there and find like the perfect person and like get down on one knee and ask them to be my mentor for life. But in reality, it's just like, I'm really interested in what you're doing, you know, and can we get coffee? And I'd love to buy you lunch, but, you know, I'd love to pick your brain. Can we talk? And it doesn't even have to be somebody that you know at all. You know, it can be somebody across the country on LinkedIn that you can reach out to. I think people more than likely are happy to help, especially when somebody asks. So that makes a big difference too. And you can, you know, you can really kind of pick and choose and build your little board of directors, as people call it, and have a bunch of people with different perspectives that can all kind of bring something to the table.
Sometimes you need and want the comfort of the person who's gonna reassure you. But if that's all you had, you would never grow.
I definitely agree with everything that you both said. You have to have more than one. Having those different opinions is what really is going to help drive your career and make some of those changes. Something that's really worked for me is people that I had worked with at previous firms or previous places, project managers or principals, after I had left those places, staying in contact still with those, you know, select folks that I thought I was really aligned with before leaving, have turned to some of my best mentors, to be honest. Those are the people that understood why I was leaving. They understood I was leaving for changes in career growth and opportunity. And so I can still now go back to them for advice and talk to them. And so that's, for me, is a really strong way that I've been able to find different mentors for mentorship in my career and my growth. And that's been really helpful.
So how does somebody know when they're benefiting from a mentoring relationship or when maybe I really should move on and find somebody different to work with?
I would look at it similarly to the way I've looked at a lot of my roles and even specific projects in my career, is that I always try to take the approach of like, if I'm learning and growing, even if it's not comfortable, even if I'm not enjoying it at the time, if I feel like this is kind of constructively, you know, productive for me at the time, if I know I'm going to be better off for it, then I think it's still fine. If you feel like it's truly toxic, then that's a different question. And I, again, similar to work, I think it's good to have these moments and like periods of time where you are really uncomfortable, where you are in the pressure cooker, where you're really like stressed out and working hard because you're on the very edge of your, you know, the limits of your abilities. But I've always found that I come out of those, you know, a much stronger, more capable, more knowledgeable architect. And I think the same could be said for those mentorship relationships. It could be okay for a time to be in an uncomfortable, challenging relationship that might ultimately, you know, kind of put you in a better place. And then maybe that's the time at which, you know, you transition to a project or a mentor that is a little more comfortable and relaxing for a time.
The key word is constructive. There's a difference between constructive criticism to help push or move something along versus someone being mean or emotionally abusive. And it is maybe sometimes tricky to distinguish the two. But again, if one is really coming from a place of, well, they're being honest, but, you know, a place of caring and wanting you to grow, that's a difference, I think. One is not being caring or kind. They're saying things to put you down without the hopes of you growing. That's when I think it's time to maybe walk away. And maybe the mentor wasn't who you thought the mentor was, or maybe it was working at one point and wasn't working now. But I would say that's a difference. Your mentor, you know, the more they get to know you as an individual, might also have different ways of doing things. They may think that you need a little bit of tough love at the moment versus something that's a little bit more friendly. So again, as soon as I would say someone's coming and pushing you down instead of helping to build you up is probably the time to walk away.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because sometimes a mentor can value things that on the surface, most people might say are good, like say getting your license, staying in the profession versus leaving the profession. But the mentee might just not be in a season of life for that. So even though the mentor is trying to push a little and feels like they're doing a good thing, it might be doing more harm than good. Once they've said something, are they letting you make your own decision, or do they keep pushing on the issue?
The strongest part is you could go back to that mentor and say, hey, that felt uncomfortable or that felt strange. Maybe we can actually dive in together. What did you mean by that? And so, you know, getting clarification on that as well, I think is really important, because again, people have different ways of communicating. Someone might think someone else needs something at the moment when they don't need something. So checking in with them and telling them what you might need from them, I think also is helpful. How do you get feedback? How do you take things? How do you communicate? And again, I think that dialogue is really important.
There's always the opportunity that they can connect you to somebody else who might be better suited for being your mentor. I finally had lunch with somebody I'd been trying to get together with for a long time. And he was immediately like, oh, you really need to talk to this guy. And I was like, okay, great. You know, connect me to him. I know who he is, but I don't know him. I got together with him. He was great. And then he immediately connected me with somebody else who, you know, I might be able to mentor in some other ways too. And it was like really kind of interesting to see this very quick cascade of relationships. I tend to try and do that now too, that I know enough people here and there at a variety of firms doing a variety of different things, is always like, you know, well, maybe I'm not the right person to help you, but I know exactly the person who is. Back to the point of just getting out there and building your network and making more relationships, I think you find that, you know, things kind of open up in ways that you don't expect. I have done a lot of faking it until I make it, and not to say that I have made it, because I don't think that I have, but back to the conversation about being comfortable with being uncomfortable, that was very revelatory for me, that that kind of experience was normal and that it was also very fruitful. And it's really helped me recognize that, A, if I'm in a very stressful or uncomfortable period of my career, it's probably going to yield really fruitful results when it's over 6 to 9 months from now. Going further, like, made me realize I should put myself in uncomfortable situations as much as possible and commit to it, like go to a thing that I don't want to go to, take on a project that I don't think I'm capable of doing, interview for a job that I don't think I'm qualified for. And more often than not, you know, even if it is a struggle, you make it through. You know, it's pretty rare that we actually get fired, for example, and you come out on the other side, you know, much better, much more capable, higher salary, positioned to do the next thing. And you can do the same thing in the AIA. You know, I want to absolutely like plug AIA involvement as well and say that has yielded immense fruit for me, just, you know, being in the YAF and a number of other involvements. And I wouldn't be here doing this if not for all of that either. And the AIA is a much easier place, you know, in a way, to get ahead and to gain experience, because all you have to do is raise your hand. And there are a lot of positions that are unfilled, responsibilities that they're looking for someone to take over. And especially for a young professional who wants to build skill sets, particularly in leadership, public speaking, build their network, getting involved in the AIA, I think, is second to none in terms of what it can do for your career. And, you know, the thing, the relationships and skills you can build that you can then bring back to your day job are really amazing. And I think just underappreciated. You're getting as much as you give, you know, which is what they always say about the AIA too. You really get out as much as you put in.
I completely agree with that. Anyone that's listening, especially if you're an emerging professional or newly licensed, a couple things I say, I don't know if there's just one piece of advice. There's so much that I think you could give is, you know, as Carl was saying, get involved. You know, if you're not maybe getting those leadership opportunities at work, get involved with the AIA or other organizations. If the AIA is not for you, you know, I've raised my hand and said, you know, how can I help? How can I get involved? And I'm now able to lead a big SIB chapter of and be the president of Phoenix Metro, which is very exciting, especially for a young architect. My shameless plug is to always have more young architects in positions of leadership within the AIA or other organizations. It's definitely going to help you grow and move forward in your career. Believe in yourself and advocate for yourself. You know, imposter syndrome is real, but trick yourself into believing that you can do anything. I'm not filling your head and making you feel inflated. And that's not what I'm saying, but just having the opportunity to really believe in yourself and advocate for yourself. So if you want a job or you don't think, you know, the job you're working on is challenging you or exciting enough, you know, definitely speak to someone. Speak to those mentors. Feel like maybe you're not getting paid fairly, you know, speak up and kind of do some digging and look around. So again, while I think the mentors are there to help guide you for those tough conversations that you're having in your career, you know, they can help you formulate a plan of how you're going to approach someone and how you're going to tackle a challenge. But again, it's up to you to advocate for yourself. You graduated architecture school, so you can do it. But that's what I would say, you know, definitely believe in yourself. Sometimes we forget that.
Oh, thank you both so much. I mean, you both had so much valuable to say and so many great insights. Your personal experience is a testament. You're walking your talk, and I really know that everyone who listens is going to appreciate that so much. I know both of you are on LinkedIn, so when you listen, make sure you connect with Carl and with Jordan and share what you learned, share how it's helping you. Definitely check out the programs. Thank you both so much for being here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Angela.
Thank you for listening. You made it all the way to the end of the episode, which means you are committed to making yourself a priority so you can be empowered to do the work you were called to do in the world. How amazing is that? If you would like even more content just like this, please remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. I would so appreciate it if you left an honest review too. Hey, I want you to know I'm here for you beyond the boundaries of this podcast. You can follow me on social media at Architecting Podcast or visit architectingpodcast.com to download some great free resources. Take care, everyone, and stay inspired.